Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I feel your strength, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, go ahead. Give him a great praise right there, right there, right there. Come on, somebody. Give him your life. Give him your breath. Give him your voice. Give him your word. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're a great God. You're our buckler, you're our shield, you're our salvation. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the strength of the Lord today. From Him, let me back up, not just today, but this entire week. And many other times beside that, I feel the strength of the Lord. It comes directly from Him. And then sometimes He allows there to be channels. Many times He does. And I feel the strength of God through His church today. I'm glad for the church. I was thinking just a few moments ago, I really feel beating in my heart the sentiments of David. I could run through a troop. I could go over a wall. Praise God. Whatever it is, God is greater. Hallelujah. Yes, He is. I feel His strength today. I feel His help today. Come on, somebody, go ahead and praise Him. God's going to give you that help. God's going to give you that strength. Thank you, Jesus. We heard a great message last Sunday night about what God has put in our hands. And either when it gets on the website, hear it and receive it, or grab a copy of it. And in that message, Brother Spall instructed us that God, He does respond to asking. But there are some things we need not ask for. We just need to activate what is already in our hand. The power and the authority of His Spirit, His name. He doesn't have to shed more blood. He's already given that blood. And so we don't have to ask Him to do that again. He's given us the authority to plead the blood over our life, over our family. He's already done it by His stripes. The writer said, "You are healed." So we don't need to ask Him to die for us. In fact, there's sometimes, I don't think Peter asked the man or asked the Lord for anything. He just said, "Rise up and walk." He activated the faith. And I feel it in this room right now, faith. And I want to encourage you, do not be intimidated to hold back when you activate your faith. And you do what God has put in you and what God has authorized us to do. He has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. You have authority over all the power of the enemy. And so now it's just a matter of activating it. It's just a matter of activating it. We don't have to pray for more power. God's already given it to us. If we have God, what other power do you need, right? We've got Him living inside of us in the form of the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And He said to them, His disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that statement was to any disciple then and now. "He that believes and gets baptized shall be saved." If you want to be saved, you can be and you must be baptized. But the one that does not believe shall be damned, but these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, or through my power and my presence, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, activation, and they shall recover. And verse 20 said, they went forth, the disciples did, and preached everywhere. The Lord went with them and worked with them, and he confirmed the word he had just spoken to them, confirmed the word with signs or demonstrations, those happenings that he predicted and prophesied followed them and happened. Amen. John chapter 14 and verse 12. And this is Jesus to his disciples. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these. Wow. They had just observed. This was near the end of Jesus' ministry, so they had already observed a whole lot of his works and miracles. He said, if you believe on me, the works that you've seen me do, you're going to be able to do those same works also. And then he said, greater. Greater in quantity, and if the situation warranted, greater in quality of work. It shall be done because I go to my Father. But when he went to his Father, he left something in us, the power of his glory and spirit. I want to preach for the next few moments the last days before Easter. The last days before Easter. And you may be seated. Now, God desires the church, and he references us as the spiritual body. In other words, he said, I was in an earthly body when I was in this world and earth, and I did many things, some of which we read he that predicted the disciples would do. And you go through the Gospels and read many, many miracles and signs and answers that Jesus gave and performed. But when the church is called the body of Christ or the ministry of Christ, what he is saying is he wants us to duplicate and replicate and look like what he looked like or what his ministry looked like while he was here. He wants we as individuals, and I'm not just talking about this group that we call the church, and it will happen among us. But he wants us individually to activate and minister and demonstrate his power in this world. Now, I'm going to preface this and lay the foundation that today, that what happened in the days and weeks before Easter, God wants that to happen now, in our days and weeks leading up to this Easter of 2018 and then on beyond. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I'm talking about things that Jesus did, like love people, like forgive people, like initiating and activating a reaching out to people, not standing and letting them go by, but reach out to love and show compassion. Things like discipling or forgiving or restoring or leading them to salvation truth. Also, the miraculous he was performing in these last days, and there was deliverance and there was healing. God says he wants all of that to take place in our day and in our time. Today, March 18th, 2018, we are 2 weeks away from our Easter. I began to consider and read the Gospels and look through the writings of what Jesus' final days and weeks of ministry looked like. Of course, he had some 3+ years of ministry in total. And so a lot of the accounts and a lot of the chapters talk about things that happened in that first year or that second year. But then when you move into the third year, and then especially the last 4 to 6 months and the last few weeks, when you trace it historically and you compare the scriptures, you can find out what happened in those final days and weeks of his ministry. I will say again, it's the will of God that things that I point out that were historical happenings in the ministry of Christ, he wants to do those same things now in our day. We just happen to be in the weeks and days before Easter, which represents the Friday crucifixion, the days in the grave, and the wonderful day of resurrection. Whatever happened leading up to those days in the ministry of Jesus Christ, he wants that to happen today. I can tell you as a little heads up that that ministry at that time was no less powerful than it had been in all of the other 3.5 years of his ministry. He was powerful in his final days. He made an impact in his final weeks and days. And he wants that ministry of power to continue through you and I as the church. We were not set here just to have a nice building. Thank the Lord we do. We were not set here just to be, quote, another church. And we are one among many. But there is divine destiny and purpose in every believer that is here today. He wants you to be more than just a member. He wants you to be a member, but he wants you to be a member that is a part or a member of his body, and his spirit flowing and his blood flowing through that body, and you being able to mimic, if you please, or replicate the power that he demonstrated and represented. In that Mark 16 and verse 20, he said, the Lord went with them, working with them, confirming the word with signs following. The Lord never leaves us alone. He was with them in those days before Easter. He's with us in our day of 218 and these days before Easter. The Lord is with us. I most definitely, and I'm not trying to prop up us up this morning, not trying to brag about us, but we know the Spirit of the Lord when we feel it. The power of God is in this place right now. The power of his presence. I may feel tired, but God is powerful. You or I may be sick. We may be worried. We may be concerned. But God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Means powerful. He is powerful. In fact, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to go to a church, I don't want to pastor a church, I don't want to attend a church where you can't feel the power of God. Where you can't believe that the God of the universe, I can't see him, but he's here. I may not be able to hear him. Yes, I can. All I have to do is read his word and I'm hearing him. Listen, it's okay to get a voice from God, but I'm going to tell you it's a whole lot easier to get a verse from God. And there's no difference. Whatever he says with an audible voice, he can say it through his word. And it's just as powerful as if he was speaking it and rumbling these rafters and those ceiling tile today. I don't mind telling you. I wouldn't mind if God spoke something audibly to us in some service. It'd probably scare some of us to death. I wouldn't mind, but he don't have to. As long as there's a preacher that'll stand in a pulpit and say, greater works than these shall you do. That's the voice of God. He has given the church the power that he's placed, that we feel in this place. He has put the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And then he spoke those words saying, greater works shall be done if you will believe. As I begin to trace the happenings in the last few weeks, I found one. Amber just preached about this a few weeks ago. His encounter with Zacchaeus happened in the final few weeks of his earthly life and ministry. Zacchaeus' heart, life, his mind, and his destiny were changed. And in this encounter and this experience with Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19 is where Jesus chose to give us his purpose for coming in an earthly body and this great plan and purpose for the church. It's where he said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The reason he chose that particular time to make that very important purpose statement was because the man he was going to talk to and relate to and had met there as the man is up in the tree and Jesus is walking along the walkway and the pathway. That is his purpose, and that man needed salvation. I'm glad to preach to you today that in his final weeks, in his final days, Jesus was doing a work of salvation in people's lives. He was helping them to turn their life around. And he wants to do that in these final days before Easter. I'm going to tell you, today is a wonderful day. Today is the right day. The right day and date for you to receive God's salvation. I want to encourage you, and I think we all have good intentions, but be careful about trying to plan the date you will receive salvation if you don't already have it. Because the best day to receive it is ASAP. The best time to receive it is as soon as possible. And I know sometimes we think, well, I'd like for so-and-so to be there, and those are good thoughts. And it wouldn't be bad if whoever they were, grandma or grandpa, dad or sister or child or whoever it was. But I want to encourage somebody today, don't block out a date on God. Let God run the calendar. Let God decide. Now, Zacchaeus had planned, he knew Jesus was coming by. But I'll guarantee you, Zacchaeus didn't have on his agenda everything that was fixing to happen. He didn't know. Jesus just kind of invited himself. I don't recommend that, but if you do it, I guess you're following the Lord. Just invite yourself over. That was unplanned. Jesus knows just what to do, doesn't he? He knows just what to do and how to do it. This was Zacchaeus' day. This was Zacchaeus' time of salvation. And I know as sure as I am standing here today, this is somebody's day for salvation. God, don't wait till Easter. If you get an Easter, we'll all shout and rejoice. But I feel a compulsion today to tell somebody, don't wait until Easter. Don't wait until some other special date or time. God has you on his calendar and his agenda. And when you examine Zacchaeus' life, you will see that there were four basic weaknesses that Zacchaeus dealt with and needs that he had, and they're the needs of every human life and heart. First of all, he felt empty. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man in his day, but there was still an emptiness inside of him. It tells us it doesn't matter. And I know we preachers use this rhetoric a whole lot, but I just want to tell you today, I'm not using it because of rhetoric. I'm telling you the absolute reality and truth. It doesn't matter how much else you have. If you don't have the Lord, you're missing something. And it doesn't matter how much you don't have, but if you have the Lord, if you have his power, if you have his love, if you have his forgiveness, if you have his spirit, if you have his blessing, you've got enough. In fact, you've got more than enough. Jesus was getting ready to fill that emptiness. Zacchaeus had another problem. He was lonely. You see, he was a Jew, but he worked for the Romans, and he collected taxes. And not just did he collect the taxes that were due, those tax collectors could raise the ante. They could make it a little extra. And so then when they put the extra on top, when they put the extra $100 on top of what was really owed, the company knew nothing about it. And so they pocketed the extra. And so he had a little living going on. Not only was he being paid by the Roman government to do his job, but he had a little way of padding his wallet and his pocket. Well, don't you know everyone loved him for that? They knew what he was doing. When he came down their way, there was mumble, there was murmur, there was turned backs, there was people that didn't want to have any. It seemed like he had no conscience, and that may have been true, but he also had no friends. He was an outcast. He was lonely. We were made to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Human beings are relational people. It's one of the dynamics of our emotional makeup. We are made to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus was made that way. Everybody in this room was made that way. And in those days before Easter, Jesus did then what he wants to do now and today. He wants to bring salvation into your life. Not only that, but Zacchaeus had not only loneliness, but he carried around a huge weight of guilt, a feeling that everybody experiences. Some people are able to cover it up a little better than others. Some people seem able to handle it a little better than others, but the guilt can weigh us down. And then some people try to numb the pain of that guilt by excessive alcohol or illicit drug use or unhealthy relationships. But no matter how that we try to hide it, and perhaps something in your life is trying to be hidden today, no matter how far you may try to run, you'll never be able to dissolve that sense of guilt except with the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. I'm not drilling on this guilt today to make anybody feel more guilty. I'm trying to open a door where there is forgiveness and there is blessing, and that weight can be lifted off of your shoulders. And of course, Zacchaeus was like anyone else, especially those who don't have a relationship with God. He was afraid to die. Many people may not admit that, but there was that fear in him, that loneliness, that emptiness, that guilt, and now a fear to die. That's those reasons, and others we may not know, is exactly why Jesus stopped. Can you imagine the God of glory, Jesus? Now, look at this. With limited time in his life, he stops the procession. Jesus, if it had been me, and I'm trying to work everything into Jesus' schedule. Some of us do that. I do that. Excuse me, not you. I do that. I try to. So Jesus, you've only got so many minutes. You've only got so many weeks. You've only got so many days. And you've got so many ministry tours. So Jesus, this little guy, he's a thief and he's a robber. He's up there in the tree. Don't even try to get down here close to you. And maybe it's because he can't see. I don't know. But Jesus, just come on. There's something bigger. There's something better. There's something more important that you can do. But Jesus stopped. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus stops, we're stopping with him. Woo, hallelujah. I was trying to work on his schedule yesterday. I started finalizing these notes, and I thought, Lord, there's too much on this salvation point. I need to get some other points. God said, you just stay right where I told you to stay. You just preach right what I told you to preach. When Jesus stopped, we better stop. We talk a lot about moving with the Lord, but sometimes we need to be stopping with the Lord too. We need to move and we need to stop where the Lord is moving and where the Lord is stopping. And what has happened today, God has put this service and has put this message, I don't know if it's in neutral or maybe it's just in second or low granny. I don't know what gear it's in right now, but it's just the right timing for somebody to respond. Whew. Zacchaeus was fixing to get a life change. A life that had confusion and turmoil was fixing to be filled with peace. A life of unrighteous behavior and immoral behavior changes to a life of clean living and moral and principled behavior. The life that was under the domination of sin and Satan, he empowered that life to rise above that influence and gave them a power to overcome. God has a power that will help you and I to overcome. Paul said in Ephesians, he said, you were without Christ. Now, that word without in this verse does not just mean empty, like without him, but it means outside of him, outside of a relationship with him. He said, you were without Christ. You were strangers from the covenants of promise. That's Zacchaeus and all of us before we knew him. Having no hope and without God. There it is again, outside of God in this world. But watch verse 13 in Ephesians 2. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes a long way off, you who were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord is our Savior. And in these final days, just before Easter, he is your Savior. He will forgive anybody today. Let me tell you, people that are praying, people, whoever they are, people as many as are afar off can be saved. I want to encourage you, if you are praying for somebody, boldly pray that way. Boldly witness that way. Inform people. I'm trying to do that today. You'll do that in a private witness. God can change and save their life. There is nobody that is unsavable. God can redeem. Praise God. I want to step back and get a further agreement on that. I want your mind to focus in, and I want your faith to focus in. There is nobody that God cannot reach. It doesn't matter what they have done. It doesn't matter. Zacchaeus was changed then, and God is ready to change somebody's life today. When somebody repents, them and God are beginning the life change. When a person is born of water, and that biblical phrase means baptized in Jesus' name. When they are born of water, God is washing away all of their sins. When they are born of the Spirit, their heart and their mind and their life begins to fill with his Spirit, and their mouth begins to give praise unto the Lord. And then it begins to speak in what is called other tongues, or speaking with other tongues. The language of tongues that give praise to the Lord. I want to just help somebody today. Never be afraid of speaking with other tongues. That is God's Spirit moving upon that person and in that person. And what they are saying, we may not understand. In fact, the first few times some of us spoke in tongues, we didn't know. It felt wild and it felt different. And we never have. I've never understood the tongue that I was speaking in. When God's Spirit gives the utterance, I have yet to this day, and I've been in it all of my life. I have not ever figured out. And when you figure it out, then that's when it's probably not God or tongues. But we speak in a heavenly language. This is one of the miracles of salvation. Just one. The greatest is a life change. But one of the little side benefits, I guess you would say, is that we are able to speak in a language that we have never spoken before. And there's righteousness that comes, and there's peace that comes, and there's joy that comes when our sins are washed away and we are filled with his Spirit. I don't know where you may be today. I don't know what your status is. I don't know where you live on the pathway of your belief system. But I will tell you, Jesus Christ loves you today, and he's offering you the help and the salvation plan. You can know the fullness for your emptiness. You can know the relationship for that empty, no relationship life. You can know the ultimate victory over sin and over death. He wants to do it for you. God is a Savior. He was a Savior. He was helping change lives in that day, and he's still changing lives today. I just want to encourage you. In fact, I'd like for this church to pray. Everybody here that would pray, I want you to pray that hearts will be open to the salvation plan of God right now. Would you pray, Lord, in your name? We are asking, oh God, for hearts. I don't have to ask you to get a plan together. I don't have to ask you to do one more work in that plan. You've already done it. But I do ask for you right now to help us to realize that you are a Savior in these final days that we live in, before Easter and before your coming. I pray, oh Lord, that you would open hearts, open minds to the understanding of who you are, and faith and repentance and the infilling of your Spirit and the desire to live a holy and a godly and a righteous life. I pray it now in the name of Jesus. This church prays it in the name that is all powerful, the name of the all powerful God. Hallelujah. 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 Whew. And if you're thinking of somebody and been praying for somebody, for them either to come back to God or come to God for the first time, that prayer just covered them right there. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. I believe somebody was touched right there while we were praying. Somebody outside of this room and these doors. And they may track it down to this moment and to that prayer. They may or they may not. You may hear about it or you may not hear about it. But I'm just going to tell you how I'm thinking it out here. I am planning for God. I'd just like to hear somebody say, you know what, about 11:45 or 11:50, I felt something just knock on my heart. I had a thought come through. I'm not trying to get God to do that, but I'm just letting you know, God, I wouldn't mind if you did. But that's not going to affect my faith. I believe he's doing it whether I hear about it or not. Come on, everybody. Blessed are those that have not seen. Woo, I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing to see. It's a blessing to see. But he said, blessed are those that have not seen, and they still believe it. So if you don't hear about it, and if you don't get any news about it, I'm just going to tell you, in this God who is so faithful, God's speaking to somebody right now. God's speaking to somebody right now. God's dealing with somebody right now. Not only salvation, but in those final days and weeks, I'm going to tell you, it was encouraging. The tracking his footsteps and his discourse in those final weeks. The woman that was bowed over with an infirmity, she was healed in those final weeks. The man who had palsy, he was healed in those final weeks. The 10 lepers, I never realized, I thought it was earlier. The 10 lepers, 10. I mean, these folks come with 10 prayer requests. 10 prayer request cards. You're using up all our cards. Ten. Hey, let them bring as many as they want to. Bring every request. Cast all your cares, he said. He didn't just say cast two or three as long as we got prayer request cards. He said cast them all at his feet. 10 lepers. Woo. And I think Jesus was just getting a final little word in about where this plan was going. Because it happened in Samaria. And one of those that was a Samaritan. Jesus, they're not even a member of our church. And I've been here for 26 years. And I didn't get my healing. There isn't anybody that feels like that in here. I'm serious. This is what was happening. Jesus, just before he's going away, said, I'm gonna just put a little highlighter on this thing that it's whosoever will. It doesn't matter what culture you come from. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter where you come from. In those final weeks, God's just opening up the door. APC will never be a racially prejudiced church. This week I read a precious elder in one of our black churches. This happened years ago. Precious Mother. Those mothers in Zion, they called them. Precious. They just believed what God's word said. And that little mother just stood up one day and said, folks, we need to quit having church and start being the church. Not just have church, but be the church. And if you be the church, you won't have any trouble having church. It all is one package deal together. So here are these 10 lepers in the final days of the Lord. And then Bartimaeus gets healed in some of these final actions of the Lord. He was healing in those days before Easter. And I'm going to tell you something. This isn't rocket science right here. God is a healer in these days. Just I don't care what disease you have. Cancer. A headache. A skin disease. Diabetes. Blood pressure. Heart condition. Blood condition. The Lord is healing in these days. Brother Mike and I get together for Bible studies on Tuesday afternoon when his and my schedule allows. I'm going to tell you, it's some good times. Mike had had some heart problems, heart condition, and even a heart attack. And I think he called me about this before the Bible study. It might have been in the Bible study, Brother Mike. But he said, Pastor, I got to tell you, I got a good report. This heart is well. I'm not having the same problems I had before. God has touched my body. I'm going to tell you, God can do it. It doesn't matter if it's a heart damage or a heart attack. God can take care of the situation. It doesn't matter. We've been praying for Dan Wolf. All I'm preaching is he's a healer in these days before Easter. I tell you what needs to happen. Somebody needs to reach up and get that word of Mark 16 saying they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And that he's the God that heals all our diseases. And then you reach up with the other hand and you get some of these testimonies and you just say it. I wouldn't mind if you said it out loud. In fact, some of us probably need to. That can be me. God can heal me. God can touch me. God can help me. God can perform a miracle in my life. God can take away the cancer that's in my life. We had a wonderful missions conference, and the Lord used Brother Robinette and chose to work through this church. And that night, over 60 plus claimed their healing. I've been dealing with a shoulder condition for the last 2 years. It would be in only certain positions, not all the time. The doctor said it was arthritis. That's for older people, but I got it as a young man. God can forgive liars too, praise God. But it was only in a position of a reach back or reach up really high. When the kids was hit, we were playing wiffle ball, and I reached up real high, and I got sick at one of those pains. Get stick in your stomach. Anytime I try to reach back and do this, there was pain. But even before the prayer of healing was prayed that night, I was over here, right about here. And I really hadn't prayed for myself. I just had believed the Lord, the healing was. And all of a sudden, I started kind of testing God. And Brother Robinette said, test it to see. Later on, he said that. It made me feel a whole lot better. I didn't feel like I had such weak faith. Just, man, I reached back. And that night the pain wasn't there. And today the pain's not there. It's been gone ever since. And in some cases I felt it every day. But the healer is in this house right now. He heals in these last days. Rick called me. Either that Monday or that Tuesday. That Monday he went to St. Anthony's. Kidney situation. So he went to get the treatment because they were putting him on a list for a new kidney. He went and he had faith after that night. In fact, he kind of pushed the envelope a little bit. He said, you go ahead and do that. I'm sitting here and waiting until those results come back. Doctor said, well, it might be an hour, it might be 2 hours, Mr. Rich. He said, that's all right, I'm sitting here waiting. They did the test. They called his doctor 3 times. They faxed stuff back and forth. They said, we can't figure this out, Mr. Rich. There is nothing wrong with your kidney. And furthermore, you don't have that diabetes. Woo! God's a healer of sugar diabetes in the name of Jesus. I'm saying he's the same in the last days before this Easter as he was before the first Easter. Come on, somebody. Let the healing touch of God. Woo. You know what every clap means? He's a healer. He's a healer. He's a powerful God. He's a loving God. He's a willing God. Stripes for our healing. Power is in our hands. If you need a healing right now, let that faith go. Woo. 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 Wednesday night, here's what I saw in my mind's eye. As I felt the move of the Spirit of the Lord, and it was only the only way that God maybe could get it across to me. And I said it. I felt like the Lord opened up a new flow. It's almost like he put another vessel in this body. We were loving and caring and believing for our precious family, the Hambys, and I'm so glad they are here today. Praying for Brother Gary and Sister Kay. But there was a prompting of the Spirit. Said, not only is what's being felt here going to be received by Gary and Kay Hamby, but the body, the other members of the body, are going to feel. It was like God put a new vessel inside our body to let more blood flow. Blood, not as in tragic. Blood as in covering and mercy and love and forgiveness started flowing. That vessel is flowing this morning. That's the reason there's a power of God in here about salvation and about. Sister Elizabeth went after that mission service and had some anemic condition in her body. They did some tests. It was the week after, right, Sister Elizabeth? Okay. They did the test Saturday before the service. And when she got the report back on Monday, there was no anemic condition in her body whatsoever. Woo! Woo! We know a blood. His blood can take care of our blood. And if you have a blood condition today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we claim the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and took those stripes for our healing. Hallelujah. From the front of this building all the way from, in fact, I just feel like there's a big old sloshing wave hitting that wall and rolling back and hitting this wall and rolling back and hitting that wall. And we're in waters that are over our heads. His power, His Spirit. Would you stand together with me right now? Oh, let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. I praise you, God. I praise you, God. I open this altar now, whatever your need is. If you need salvation, or if you need healing, or if you need a deliverance. I didn't get to that part of the message, but God did it. He raised Lazarus in the last days of his... He can bring something back to life in your life. Come on. Yes. Yes. Bring somebody with you. Bring somebody with you. Yes. Come on. Yes, He is. He's God. Begin to pray right now and just call out. Let your faith go out right now. Let a powerful, let there be a sound of faith. He is the healer. There is nothing too hard for you, God. There is nothing impossible with you, Lord. Yes. That's it. Come on in close. Just move a step or two closer to allow others to gather in. Oh, people are wanting to respond to your Spirit, God. I'm encouraged the body. I encourage the saints, the members. Move in with somebody and agree right now. Agree for their answer. They may be standing in proxy for somebody that needs salvation, or for somebody that God spoke to. Yes, you're a healer, oh God. You can do it in these days that we live in. Yes, yes, that's right. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Touch us, God.